Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on our podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I'm Grez.
And ooh, you're listening
to... That's a motorcycle.
And you're listening...
clearly going to get caught up on the fucking ring, sorry. Yeah, just leave it all in.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Robot Wars, The Fifth Wars, Heat Eye.
Alright.
And we jump straight back in with a seeded robot... that Robot Wars wants to remind you. Do you remember that time it got utterly bit slapped?
Yeah. It's like, come on. Like, that was a series semi... No, yeah. Yeah, that was right the first time. That was in the semi-finals. Like, so Splinter had at least three other victories to get to that fight against Hypnodisc. And... that was the match that they were like, remember Splinter? Remember when he got his face and his sides and his arse ripped off? It's back! And it's like, well, that doesn't really make me want to, like, exactly see it when you're showing it at its absolute weakest.
Also, I do have to say, I don't like this version of Splinter. I liked it when it had the scoop, even though the scoop did look a little silly.
I see what they're going for now, having the axe on top. It's very Behemoth-y. It's like if Behemoth and Thermidor had a baby. Aw, it would be adorable. Like when it was small, it would be tiny.
But here's the thing, would it be cursed, or would it be treated as if it's a god because it had one good fight?
Both. It would be like, God, this robot's cursed, but remember that one good fight it had?
Yeah.
And it's probably, oh, that's it? The Hypnodisc match is the cursed but good remembered Splinter match.
So, anyway.
Oh, dear. Anyway. So we're into the first fight, as you've heard, but we'll do it properly.
And our opponent does need an introduction. Will it deserve it or not is a different question.
Yeah, well, I'll do Splinter's properly. From Thorpe Marriott, Splinter.
Which is... and our...
Oh, okay, sorry. Go for it.
Which is fairly similar to the previous version, with one key difference being it's a lot more solid in shape.
Yeah. The scoop this year is made out of metal and not plastic.
Yeah.
And their opponent, from Aintree, Viper 01.
That's pretty much all you need to say.
This is interesting, though. Okay, I'm going to throw a wee bit of shade on Robot Wars Wiki. Oh no, hope I don't get any hate mail.
Oh dear.
So they explicitly say on this episode that Viper 01 comes from the team of the lightweight or middleweight. I can't remember which.
I know the one you mean.
Not associated robot on Viper 01's wiki page.
Okay.
Just considering in the last episode when we spoke about how Wolverine, I think it was they had associated robots with Toe Cutter. So just saying, there's a wee bit extra that you could put on this. Not saying that you're a bad sight or anything.
Please do not pick a fight with the Robot Wars Wikia.
I'm not picking a fight, I'm trying to make it even better. It's constructive criticism.
Cool. So this robot originally tried to enter Series 3.
It looks like it came from Series 3.
Yes, this robot was also called, in that version,
Harder
Big
Cheese.
Cheese.
Aww. I wanted it to be Harder Cheese.
But instead we get the Big Cheese. Now, just to make this clear, this is the not good version of the Big Cheese.
Okay, now I'm confused.
Right.
So Viper is the not good version of the Big Cheese.
So Viper tried to qualify for the Third Wars under the name The Big Cheese.
But the Big Cheese was already in Season 3.
Right. Now, which... this is weird. Apparently, it was the producers that suggested the name The Big Cheese for Roger Plant's robot.
Okay.
Justice for Viper 01. I mean, certainly there'll be a scintillating robot and they'll move at all.
Yes.
The most interesting thing in this match is when Shunt and Splinter spit roast Viper.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this moment where just Splinter feeds Viper into Shunt and you just see them have an axe off.
It is. It's just this thing where it's like you see Splinter trying his hardest with the axe and Shunt's just like, "You call that an axe? This is an axe! Skadoosh!"
Yep.
Also, I really want to know about the placement of robots, because when they start to fight, because Viper was already about three quarters of the way across the ring and practically right in front of Splinter when the match started.
I would genuinely not be surprised if they entered the arena and that's when they stopped.
It's like, oh, here looks good. Yeah, we haven't broken down. No. No sorry.
Nope. No chance. Anyway.
So the match goes well for them is what you're saying.
Yep.
Them being Splinter, obviously, because it goes horrendous for Viper.
Also, somehow this match goes to a judge's decision.
Yes, I noticed that, and this was again the thing. This was again the thing that makes me realize that these matches are 5 minutes long, and someone had to sit. Well, a lot of people had to sit there and watch 5 full minutes of this. Like we were discussing before we started recording about like all the BattleBots matches in history that are locked away in the owner's house that he refuses to give us, despite the fact that we continue demanding them. But I would not like to see a lot of these unedited Robot Wars fights.
Do you know what, actually, fair play. Here's what we'll do, right?
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman that has these original recordings.
Yes, sir.
We will not mention it again.
If you give us them.
If you make Grizz watch this fight full length, and we will record it, and you can all see him going crazy.
And I'll do it. I will do it. I will sit and record me watching the entire unedited version of this fight if it means that we get the BattleBots tapes.
Yes. Or
at least a copy of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the most interesting thing on Viper was the fact that it was signed.
Yeah. There's a signature, and I have no idea whose signature it is. Apart from the fact that Shunt seems determined to put an axe through it.
Yeah, it's not even like on their photo on the wiki. In fact, there's a little black mouse that's on their wiki photo. I'll try and scan it really quickly and see if it mentions who's saying that.
Whilst you're doing that, yes. I will. I will start our talk on the next match, because the next match doesn't take long. So, whilst you're doing that, I'm going to do something that I've never done before.
Yeah. Okay, you're going to do the introductions?
From Bransgore, Tip Top. Tip Top is a spinner robot, who cares? From Brighton, Bigger Brawler. Bigger Brawler, how to put this? You know in Civilization, where Gandhi has a zero in aggression, and then a glitch happens when you discover nuclear weapons, and he goes to 99 aggression. Yeah, uh-huh. That's what's happened to Bigger Brawler in this series. They are immediately before the match. I don't actually think Tip Top manages to even move a meter on its own before Bigger Brawler is on it, driving it into the wall and flipping it over the ground. In fact, I genuinely believe that Tip Top covers more distance under his own power when it moves very slightly when it's out of the arena than it did when it got flipped, when it actually was in the arena.
Yeah, like, last season we were all very like, what happened? Like, this is Bigger Brawler. This is like, it just seemed very timid. In that first season, and it lost very quickly. This season, it's like, right, I'm making up for lost time. Let's just fucking go, son.
Yep.
It did not take long.
Nope, not at all. In fact, I think we've spent more time talking about it than the actual match, including the introductions.
Can't confirm, because the match has just ended on the TV.
So, anyway. Can you do this next one? Because it makes me sad.
I sure can. Okay, that's also interesting. So, from Ludlow, Technis.
So, Technis is a wedge bot, crusher bot. It's not quite clear what it does.
Yeah, it does everything and also kind of nothing.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Yep.
Also, it's associated with Flip Flop Fly from season 3.
Yep.
So, remember that robot? Yeah. And their opponent, from Queen's Park, Onslaught.
This makes me sad, because this is the last time we see this robot.
No, I didn't want to know that.
So Onslaught, which, from one, it's basically, you know that remote control car you had as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
It's that, but with a big motor and steering. I'm amazed how heavy this robot is.
Same, actually.
Because you're like, oh no, it's a tiny thing.
I'm pretty sure that even JP mentions that Oh, despite the way that they look, Onslaught is actually heavier than Tetanus is. Like, Onslaught looks like you could pick up with one hand very easily. Like, remember the lad from season one of Robot Wars that had Full Metal Anorak?
Yes.
And he just carried it about like it was a briefcase. Like, I feel like that's what it looks like you could do with Onslaught, but in actual fact, you would need to, like,
The
lift
one
it properly.
robot that does manage to throw around Onslaught like it weighs nothing is Tetanus.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I know we kind of made a bit of a joke about Tetanus. And its weird weapon because we haven't a clue of how it really is meant to work. But to be honest, it done like the perfect thing that you really need to do in these kind of fights of like it got Onslaught over and then stayed on him, refusing to let it self-right.
Which makes me wonder if there is some sort of gentleman's agreement not to do that, or why it's so rare.
I
Because it
know.
seems like a really rare thing.
Yeah, it's. We've been noticing it over a couple of fights from recent episodes, but yeah, it's not as common as it probably should be.
Yeah.
So basically, Onslaught spends practically all of this match on its head.
And it's
And.
brilliant driving by Tetanus until. So, as we know, there are these CO2 sprayers in the arena.
Geysers?
Geysers, I don't, that just randomly go off. And most of the time, they just look kind of cool.
It's just like aesthetic for the arena.
This one goes off underneath Tetanus. And you just see Tetanus. You just see the light go out in its eyes.
It's just like, uh-oh.
Which means somehow both robots are immobilized.
Because it was like the thing of like tetanus gets immobilized and then you just see Onslaught wiggling its wheels like I'm alive, see, look, I'm alive.
It's trying so to. It's like, I need. If I can just get over it, I've won this match!
Was really hoping that it might have just went bling.
Oh, that would be hilarious!
But the thing is, it spent so long trying to flip throughout the match that I think it might have ran out of CO2 or something.
Oh, no, definitely.
That or the self-righting bar broke.
Yeah.
So, Tetanus win the judge's decision, obviously quite rightfully. They then talk to Craig Charles about the incident, and then they say that, like, to be honest, the bottom of the robot is pretty on show. So when they went over that steam jet geyser, whatever you want to call it, it just must have like wrecked something in the system. So just be glad that that happened at that moment and they won the fight from that and not, during the fight when Onslaught was not on its head.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we have a former grand finalist. And he's
We
about to
certainly
bully a child.
Yep. So, from Lord's Hill, three stegs to heaven.
Which is not the robot's best form. It's basically it is an invertible robot with a spinning disc, At first looking at it, I'm assuming, because it's got these two, it's got basically a stick running through it that allows it to kind of keep the spinning disc off the ground. And I'm assuming that the original design has, like, it has wheels or something on that. But I've never
The caster wheels.
Like caster wheels, or even like a mouse ball.
Yeah. I remember when mice. Computer mouses used to have balls in it.
Yep.
And his opponent, already in the ring, from Guildford, 11.
I mean, to be fair, when it is the size it is and the speed it goes, I think it would take a while to get there. So this is the team that has entered Techno Games. Dominated Techno Games with Knee Deep and Rivet Rivet.
Yeah, so they built this ginormous walking robot. Makes me wonder why they didn't have this in Techno Games as a sprinter.
Oh, I mean, right, here's the thing. Probably because it's the length of the... it's like it takes one step, it's one. It's huge!
Gigantic. It is a very sweet piece of engineering, though.
Like, it's over 2.5 meters long.
That's a big robot.
I don't think it would fit in the pit.
Yeah, well, at least, you know, like, there's... It's not like they just started adding stuff onto it to prevent it from going in the pit.
Okay. Right, okay.
And then... So, 11's secret weapon is an entanglement weapon. I don't know if that's legal, but it happened.
Right, because what happens, right, is 3 stakes to heaven... It attacks, and it's the first... Because at first, it's like 3 stakes. It's kind of like Axel last week. It's like, what? How do I hit this? And then it does. It hits, and you just hear... As the hydraulic fluid of this 8-legged robot that is just so amazing to watch walk. And you just see as the liquid goes everywhere.
Because it was the thing of like the legs kind of come together, and so Steg just kind of like drove up and went, what if I just put my saw like right here, and then the legs close and it just goes pfft.
And at first I thought, oh wait, there's no way 11 has like crushed 3 stakes and has caused massive damage. No, it is the actual. And then 3 stakes. At this point, 3 stakes has won the match, and they should just
back off.
Yeah, they should just back off and go away and just leave it, and then they didn't.
Nope. They went in for a second go of it, and that's where the entanglement weapon.
Yes, because they basically start pulling on the cables. And
it looks kind of icky, like it's arteries or something, and that gave me the heebs.
Yeah.
So I think it ends up going to a judge's decision, does it not?
Yeah, it goes to a judge's decision because it turns out, No, Free Stakes is stuck because it's simultaneously, it can't get free and it can't get a good enough grip on the floor because it's now starting to slip on the hydraulic fluid it put everywhere.
Hoisted by its own petard.
Yeah.
Yep, well, Stake 3 naturally does win said judge's decision, but... I mean...
It would have been what? Well, I suppose what you could say is, well, 11 managed to do massive damage to Stake 2. It managed to entangle it, it controlled its also movement...
It also done massive damage to Stake 3 as well.
Fuck.
It did so much damage that it managed to damage another robot that wasn't in the fight. That's impressive.
Oh, that's incredible, yeah.
maybe that's what happened is in Stake 2's last match, that's why it lost, is it had that ripple effect through time and just felt the pain from 11 and lost.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Absolutely. Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Chris and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technoax spelled TekNoaxe.
So now we start getting the Big Brother team with her robot Bigger Brother. And this whole episode is Joe commanding everyone of when to start their bits.
Yeah.
Because we do the introduction for the team, and then Joe goes, "Go!" And then Ellie starts talking, and then Joe just completely loses all interest.
To be fair, considering the match we have, a lot of people would lose interest very quickly.
Ouch.
This match lasts... less than 10 seconds.
Less than 30 seconds, definitely.
But it is. It's just... But again, it's just, it's almost the exact same match as the previous one. It's just like... Splinter just doesn't get a chance.
Yeah, it just gets mauled. Like, it was impressive to watch its ability to self-write the first time. And then it gets hung up on the wall. And then it gets put out of the wall. Oh, over the wall, even. Yes, yeah. Splinter didn't stand a chance. And to be honest, this is Big Brother on full form. I can't help but feel as if, like... Because we kind of discussed it in its last match. But just to go back to it again. Like, in the last season, maybe they didn't have like the driving down pat on Bigger Brother, and I feel like when they lost like really early in season 4, and then went away, they were like, right, hours of practice, because it's like it drives flawlessly now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just been something like that, and that's why like. All of these fights so far are just so precisioned. Like, there's not, like, a rogue flip. Like, every flip is, like, it means something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There is an efficiency to it.
Mm-hmm. Because you got to remember, obviously, with these CO2 flippers, they are limited, so every flip needs to count.
Absolutely.
So, Big Bro, with its second Uta in as many matches, we move on to Stag 3 and Tetanus. Tet-anus.
Of course you would start talking about anus. So, this
yes,
match
I'm 32 going on 13.
This match upsets me.
This matchup upsets me too, but I want to know why it upsets you to see if it's the same reason.
So at first, I mean, Tetanus is in charge. It's got Steg trapped on the wall. I think at one point it's clear Steg's only got one working wheel.
Yep.
And the only real thing that happens to Tetanus is that one of its prongs gets ripped off by Steg. Steg free.
Mm-hmm.
And then Refbot comes in and separates them. Now this starts a theme, which is basically Refbot keeps on poking its three Stegs for no discernible reason.
Yeah.
And this time it benefits Steg because it means that Steg is able to move. And then when Tetanus conks out, despite the fact that it was completely and utterly dominated this whole match, Three Stegs to Heaven wins.
Yeah. So it is the exact same reasons.
Yeah.
Everything you just said there, completely agree with. And it's... After the fight, the Tetanus team said that it was like... So there was just this one point where they lowered their weaponry on top of Steg, and they says that
high-sighted them.
Yeah, high-sighted them, yeah, exactly. So their wheels weren't on the floor or whatever, and then that's the reason that they couldn't move. So they kind of almost like done themselves in. And it's like, but three quarters of this fight, Steg was running around in a circle. And then even like by the end of the fight, when Tetanus was counted out, Steg wasn't really moving then. So I feel like this should have been another double knockout situation and gone to the judges, and Tetanus should have won.
Yeah.
Yeah, three Stegs in their interview also mentioned, oh yeah, there's only one wheel working, we'll try and get it fixed for the next fight. I only say that because there's a conversation they have after the next fight that I'll bring up. So, unfortunately, and I don't mean this in a bad way to Three Stegs to Heaven, but unfortunately, Three Stegs advances.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just the thing is, it does kind of feel like they're de-evolutionizing Three Stegs instead of evolving. They're de-evolving because the first Steg was incredible. Steg 2 was like pretty badass with a big ass flipper and was doing pretty well. And then Steg 3 seems like that should have been Steg 1 and they should have came in an opposite order.
I would have said it would have been Steg, then Steg 3, then Steg 2 is the most evolved.
Maybe.
Steg 1 is kind of basic.
Yeah, just a big box. Yeah.
It does have the most awesome thing, though, which is the two robots lock up, and then, oh my god, the other robot's going backwards.
Steg 1 was pretty basic, but obviously that was the one that had the most success, so yeah, I think Steg 2 should have been the final evolution, and then it went backwards. It was very strange, but nevertheless, our final Steg 3, Big Bro.
Right, okay. Let's make this clear. This match actually lasts about 30 seconds. So, early on, it's kind of back and forth. Three Stegs I mentioned the stick earlier. The stick gets caught on the flame pit, and as it eventually gets pulled off the flame pit, it takes a few seconds for the flames to go out.
Yeah. And it's because like it got stuck in the flame pit, and then like it also went down, so like the the saw started like ripping up like the grate.
Yeah.
So it was like causing
which
sparks.
Which ironically drove it further in.
Yeah. And then Steg gets set up on the wall, and Big Bro goes for its third Uta in as many matches, and then manages to accidentally flip the robot back into the arena.
Yeah, it misses a bunch of times, and it's a shame.
And then we go into Shunt's corner patrol zone, and Big Bro's like, sorry, you're in my way.
So, yes!
So he just flips Shunt over.
And then Sakilot takes this personally.
Oh, yeah.
And starts to chase around Big Brother. Big Brother's so quick, it keeps getting side on. And you can tell it's trying so desperately to flip Sakilot.
Trying so hard.
And then what happens is it starts fighting and goes, do you know what, I'll come back to this, I'll be back in a minute. Flips Steg onto the wall. So Steg's trapped. Steg can't... And Steg's done. There's no way Steg's getting out of this.
And then fucking Weasel Refbot comes in and knocks it off the wall again. It's like, no! No, we've seen fights where robots have been counted out because they're incapacitated because they're on the wall. Why does Steg get another chance here?
And, yeah, it's like... So why didn't you do that for Smidzy?
Uh-huh.
You know, Smidzy, if you do that, great, do that to Smidzy and Smidzy wins its fight. Because it's not even that, it's not even like it accidentally ended up on the wall. No, it was deliberately flipped there.
Yeah. And then seconds later, it gets put on the wall again, and then RevPop does come and count it out, and so it's like, why didn't you just do that before?
And then, so Big Bro then goes to pit Free Stegs. And as he's doing it, you see Sakilot go, oh, vengeance! And then he rams Big Brother into the pit and then falls in. And there was this...
It's because Sir K was trying to do it. Also, it's like his gas mask is like hanging off as he does it. But it's like, it's that thing, it's like, right, okay, well, this is my duty as a house robot. I'm going to pit this robot. Then Big Brother comes in and goes, no, I'm going to do it. He's like, I'm trying to do something here. Just, all right, you go in. And then I go in.
And then there's this awesome moment where Sakilot goes, oh no, we're all in the pit. If only I could drive straight out.
Yeah. It's like when you try to do something cool and then like you like slip or trip or something. And then you just kind of turn around to people watching you and go, I meant to do that.
Yep.
that's like what Sakilo was like when he drives out the pit. He just kind of looks around and goes, I meant to do that. Meant that.
A bit like how I meant to do the trivia.
The trivia.
So, Bigger Brawler was the second of two unseeded robots to qualify from its heat in this series. And the last ever to defeat two seeded robots to win a heat, since in both subsequent wars of the original war, only one seed was featured in a single heat.
It's still weird to think that Big Brother, or Bigger Brother, is unseeded in this season.
It's weird.
Yeah. Big
it's
Brother
a bit like
is unseeded.
DLC was unseeded.
Yeah.
And yet Atomic was.
To be honest, though, if you're basing that off the performance from last season, take two. You can leave all that in if you want.
Yeah, no, well, yeah.
To be honest, if you're basing that off of last season, DRTR went out in the first round, not for any other reason than the bullshit that had to go on with them getting into the country.
Yep.
And having to take the robot completely apart. But
for the second year in a row. Yeah, so.
So, but like, I mean, like, you could have maybe even given them like a very low seeding just through notoriety and, you know, previous performances outside of season four.
So, this episode was also the final appearance of the Jurassic Park team.
I was going to sing the theme music, but I forgot
Do,
it. Thank
Bigger Brother's defeat of Tip Top is ranked 23rd in the shortest battles of UK Robot Wars. Its battle with Splinter is just outside the top 30.
Oh, at least Tip Top created something. Like, you know, it's created a legacy for itself by getting smashed in about 25 seconds.
The defeat of Three Stakes to Heaven signified the second occurrence of the Eighth Seed Curse.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's not a proper curse. There is only one curse, and it is Behemoth.
Oh, yes.
Also, both of the seeds in this episode, Splinter and Three Stakes to Heaven, attempted and failed to qualify for Series 6, with both teams then retiring.
Steg tried to thing for season six and got rejected?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, if they brought three Stegs back, I would have probably rejected them as well. Bring back
So,
Steg 2. What the fuck?
anyway, next week we will have a robot that once again will al have Alan going, Arnold, Terminator did not qualify. Why?
Oh yeah, we probably had a few in this episode, to be honest.
Probably.
But yeah,
Also,
I
I've
mean,
noticed we've not done the best and worst of. I'll be honest,
no.
I'm not fast.
Well, since we remembered it, we'll do it for this episode, but clearly we forgot for last week.
I mean, most improved has to be Big Umbrella.
Yeah, easily. Least improved, obviously, I think it would need to be Steg.
Yep.
What else was there? Was there best newcomer?
Yes. Did any newcomer win a match?
I mean, tetanus.
Tetanus, yeah, okay, we'll say tetanus then.
Because arguably it should have won its second match as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there we go. Done.
Hooray.
I suppose, unfortunately, worst newcomer would technically need to be 11, but like, that's not fair.
No. Justice for 11! See, actually, when you look at it, we'll be back next week. Yeah. See, when you look at it, right? Three Stegs really locked out
To get as
multiple
far as it
times.
did.
Yeah.
Yeah, to give a robot that's easily going to be beatable, and then they didn't count out when it should have clearly been counted out several times.
Yep.
And then even Jesus, even in the final, it got given multiple fucking chances.
Oh yes, yeah, it's bizarre.
I know, whatever they were paying them backstage, I guess the money finally fucking ran out.